Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last broadcast, we began to look at Quran chapter 9 and verse 28, where we learn about the economic crisis which the Muslims would be facing after Allah's final decision concerning not allowing the polytheist whom he described to be unclean to be near the land of Mecca, which Muhammad continued and consist to call it the forbidden mosque, because as we have shared already with you, there was no mosque built not until Muhammad died. Therefore, the idea that there was a construction building there is a myth, no truth whatsoever. Now, how Allah would take care of the financial needs of these Muslims who will lose their business of buying and selling, or those who used to receive money just simply from all these Arab tribes who used to travel to Mecca to pay respect, to do the pilgrimage, to visit the gods which they used to worship inside the black building, which is known to be Al-Kaaba, because it was a great income for the Arab who lived in that land. People go and visit their gods, and they gave offer money to the people who are watching for their gods, protecting their gods all year long until the following year when these idol worshippers used to go back and worship their gods. Let me remind you again by what is written in Quran 9:28 as we move on for the answer and the solution for such economic problem. Quran 9:28 read as follows: O you have believed, surely only the polytheists are unclean, so do not let them come near the forbidden mosque after this their year. That is the year when Muhammad sent that Quran, Quran chapter 9, the final revelation given to him by Jibreel, by some of his followers to read throughout the land of Mecca. As we know that after these following four forbidden months, change must take place in the land. One of the changes is that all those who do not belong to Islam can no longer live, and all non-Muslim believers cannot come near the land. Then Allah stated, and if you are afraid of coming to poverty, once again because of the loss of all the income which they used to receive from such practices, so Allah will enrich you from His bounty, if He wills. Now Allah is making a promise to the Muslims that He will somehow refinance them from other sources. And then we end Quran 9:28. Surely Allah is knowing wise. Now let us look at how Allah will enrich the Muslims by getting the spoils of war, that is after the killing the Jews and the Christians, or how Allah will enrich them by the jizya, which they will collect from the Jews and the Christians. And that's how the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, can save their life without submitting to Islam, meaning becoming Muslim believers. And that's how Allah fixed the economic problem of the Muslims. In Quran 9:29, that is when Allah said, engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the last day, nor forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid, nor believe in the religion of the truth among those who have been given the book, until they pay the jizya out of hand and they are subdued. Now you have to understand that in my personal belief, I actually believe that even Quran 9:29 has been abrogated by 9:5, because 9:5, the verse of the surah, cannot be practiced with Quran 9:29. There is a contradiction between these two verses, as we will see today. And since 9:5 is the most harsh, the most barbaric, the most savage teaching, therefore, I believe that one verse, 9:5, the verse of the sword, will supersede what is written in Quran 9:29. Or Muslim will tell me how he can practice these two contradictory verses at the same time for the Jews and the Christians. First of all, when Muslims say, yes, there are verses in the Quran where Allah taught the Muslim to engage in war, and all these war are defensive war, I say, I'm sorry, you may be A, ignorant of the Quran, or B, naive, cannot understand the final command of Allah in the Quran. Because none of the verses of the Quran which teach engage in war, as we have shown that in detail in my new book, Exposing the Truths About Jihad, Volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran, we discovered that none of the verses which we read in the Quran, which talks about war or jihad, has been given for defensive reasons, but they were all given for the purpose of offensive jihad and wars. So once again, let's look at Quran 9:29 to learn about these facts. Allah said, engage in war with those who do not believe in Allah. Well, some Muslims would say, well, Christians believe in Allah. After all, you in the Arabic language use the word Allah for God. Let me ask these Muslims, do you believe Jesus Christ is the second person of God? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of God? In other words, do you believe that the Christians who worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are true believers in the God of Muhammad? The answer would be absolutely not. As a matter of fact, as we have seen in Quran chapter 5 and verse 72 and Quran chapter 5 and verse 73, those who believe that Jesus is the son of the Virgin Mary is God, or those who believe that the God whom they are worshiping is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are called in these two verses infidels. And not just any infidel, but infidels indeed. So we cannot call Christians who worship the triune God, who worship Jesus Christ, who worship the Holy Spirit with the Father, to be those who believe in Allah, the God of Muhammad. Then the rest of the verse, engage in war with those who do not believe in the last days. Someone will say, Brother Usama, Christians and Jews believe in the last days. I say no. The last day of Muhammad has nothing to do with the last day which we Christians and Jews believe in. For according to Islam, the last day of Muhammad, we know that the Christ will come back. He will live as a Muslim prophet. He will have four wives. He will break the cross, meaning get rid of all the Christians. He will kill the pigs, meaning he will get rid of all the Jews, and then he will die. Well, we as Christians do not believe in that. Therefore, none of the Christians who believe in the Jesus of the Bible believe in the last days of the Jesus of Muhammad. Continue with the verse, engage in war with those who do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. And boy, oh boy, do we have an hour or two so I can share with you all the things which Allah and His Messenger Muhammad forbid, and we the Christian do not forbid, and the Jewish people also do not forbid? For the sake of time, let me just give you one example. You see, all Christians worship Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is forbidden in Islam. In simple words, all the things which we believe and practice in Christianity are forbidden in Islam. Therefore, Muslims are commanded to engage in war with the Christians. And these are the true reasons why Muslims are commanded to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians. It is not because Jews and Christians launched war and now the Muslims are defending themselves. No. It is the direct command of Allah for Muslim believers to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians simply because they do not believe in Allah, they do not believe in the last day, the day of judgment in Islam, they do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. Notice now the next reason why Muslims are commanded to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians. That is when Allah said, nor believe in the religion of truth. What is the religion of truth? Go to any Muslim scholars' interpretation to Quran 9:29, and they will all be in agreement that is the religion of Islam. If a Christian believes in the religion of Islam, he is no longer a Christian. And if a Jew believes in the religion of Islam, he is no longer a Jew. Which people are we talking about? Allah in the Quran is very clear among those who have been given the book. What book? The Bible. That's how we know that Allah in Quran 9:29 is commanding the Muslim people to kill the Jews and the Christians. And once again, it is not defensive war, it is offensive war. Those who do not believe in Allah knows the last day, those who do not forbid what Allah and Muhammad forbid, and those who do not follow the religion of Islam.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now, here is the option B. Until, you may have heard me in the past say this many times, there are very important words in the Quran. The word except, the word unless, or the word until, the word but, the word if. These are not just words to be read lightly, but you must circle these words and highlight what comes after it. Until they pay the jizya. What is the jizya? That's a tribute, non-Arabic word from Aramaic origin, which means money, blood, money. You pay it, you're free. You don't pay it, you're dead. And how the Muslim will receive that money, we just send it by mail. We put it in an envelope and we put a stamp in the envelope and we send it to them. No. That's not how Muslim receives the jizya from my ancestors. And that's not how they receive it even today in some of the Muslim countries, as I have seen it by my own eyes in the country of Indonesia. Listen carefully how Allah ended Quran 9:29. Until they pay the jizya, the tribute tax, out of hand, and they are subdued. That is the word humiliated, disgraced. That the Muslim man must receive this money with dignity, and the Christian and the Jew must give it with humiliation. How is that? We have to bow down on our knee, reach out from the bottom up to give them the money in their hand. They will not open their palm to the heaven, but actually they will open their palm towards earth. And we gave them the money and we put the money in their hand from below them, which means they are not beggar, but we are the one who are begging for our life. Please don't kill me. Take the money. That reminds me of a true story happened in my life. I was 18 years old when I was in high school. And my teacher, Mr. Muhammad, who was teaching us in the story of Abu Bakr Siddiq, that is the story of the first Khalifa, the first successor after Muhammad, and how the teacher tricked me and allowed me to speak in the classroom, which is something we don't have in Egypt. We don't have freedom of speech in Egypt, where the students can speak their mind. The teacher said, boys, today we're going to be talking about the war of apostasy. I love it. The title of the subject is the war of apostasy. And if you do not know what is the war of apostasy, that is the first civil war when Muslims killed Muslims who left Islam. The day Muhammad died, not a month later or a year later, no, the day Muhammad died, many of the Arab who did not believe in Muhammad to start with, they just simply says the Shahada to save their life. As we see here in Quran 9:29, Christians give money to save their life. When Muhammad died, many of these people turned back to whatever they used to worship. If they are Christians, if they are Jews, or if they are idol worshippers. And Abu Bakr Siddiq said, no way. It is Islam and no other way. Which means, you said the Shahada, you are Muslims, you're going to continue to live as Muslims, or we will kill you. And Abu Bakr and his followers, the true Muslims, killed thousands of those who apostate and left Islam. But my teacher would like to take that story, that subject to teach us, the few Christian students in the classroom, that Islam did not spread by the edge of the sword. Imagine me how stupid you can be to read that story in the textbook, and at the same time you can come to the conclusion that the war of apostasy does not prove at all that people were forced into Islam by the edge of the sword. So my teacher, in simple words, said, we're going to have freedom today to speak. Christians, Muslims alike, have all the liberty, boys, to share whatever comes in your mind. And as we see in the end of our study today, that Islam did not spread by the edge of the sword. I remember raising up my hand and the teacher welcomed me so good. I mean, he made me feel so special. And I shared with him Quran 9:29 and Quran 9:5. And I read to him that verse which I just read to you today, 9:29. Where Allah gives the Muslims the command to kill the Christians simply because they do not believe in Allah, nor the last day, nor forbid what Allah and Muhammad forbid, nor believe the religion of Islam until they pay the jizya. My teacher said, well, Brother Usama, the jizya was a little bit money. It's not much. It's like few dollars a family would pay every year. And that money is used for their own good. And I said, what good? He said, for the Muslim armies to protect the Christians of Egypt. I said, to protect them from who? And he hesitated to give me the answer. And I said, you mean to protect them from the Muslims who invaded our country? And you can see the anger on my teacher's face when I give him that answer. Because that's the only enemy we know in Egypt, when Omar ibn al-As came to Egypt to invade my home country. And because of that, my teacher persecuted me, which ended that I have to leave the school and finish the high school classes from home. And I was the first student, to my knowledge, in the history of Egypt to do that. And now let me share with you the contradiction between 9:5 and 9:29. To know that 9:5 must be superior to 9:29. Once again, in Quran 9:5, Allah said, so when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the palaces wherever you find them, and take them as captive, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, that is, convert to Islam, and perform the prayers, and bring the legal arms, so leave the way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. In the verse of the surah, Allah commands the Muslim to kill all Christians. Because in reality, all Christians are polytheists. For heaven's sake, what is polytheist? The people worship more than one God. What do Muslims think of Christians? They think of us as polytheists. Why? Because we worship Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Where is the option of jizya in Quran 9:5? It is not there. There's only three options. Number one, to be killed. Number two, for our women and our children to be taken as concubines or slaves. Number three is to convert to Islam. Let's go on to Quran 9:29. What is the options we have here? To be killed, unless we believe is the religion of truth, or we pay the jizya. That jizya, I believe personally, was given by Muhammad in Quran 9:29 as a temporary solution which can be practiced only during the four forbidden months. And when these four forbidden months have gone, then Muslims have no option but to kill the Christians to take over everything they got. And that is the perfect solution Allah gave in the Quran to supply the needs of the Muslims who now have economic crisis because they don't have the income which they used to have from the idol worshippers or from the business of selling and buying merchandise. Maybe some would say, but there are plenty of Muslims around the world who did not kill the Jews and the Christians of the rest of the world. Trust me, there's so many things in the Quran Muslims do not practice. It's not because Muslims did not practice 9:5 with every Christian they met. That means that is really the true teaching of the Quran. The true teaching of the Quran is 9:5. Some Muslims allow 9:29 to continue to be practiced even until today. I can simply say it is God's grace, it's God's mercy, not Allah, that He wanted some of His Christian believers and some of the Jewish people to survive until the year 2024. If it was not, they would have crushed us and killed the last one of our men and forced Islam on the whole world. It is just simply God's grace that He allows some Christians and some Jews to survive. Once again, the contradiction between 9:5, the verse of the sword, and 9:29, the verse where Muslims were allowed to receive money from the Christians and the Jews, those who would not become Muslims, is a problem. Not for me as a Christian, but for Muslims, because that is another proof that the Quran is not the word of God. Now, as I went back to my teacher and I said, what if I choose not to pay that little bit money as a Christian man? He said, well, you can always become a Muslim to believe in the religion of truth, the religion of Islam. I said, what if I do not want to become a Muslim and I just want to be a Christian? He said, then we have to kill you. Wow. Yes, indeed. I got it from his own mouth. He said the truth to all the class. A little money? What a cheap Allah. What a cheap prophet. What a cheap cult, the cult of Islam. Why is that? I would rather to say every Christian family must pay $10,000 or to be killed than to tell me that every Christian family must give $2 or we will kill you. Are you trying to tell me that the life of the Christian in Egypt was worth $2? You're gonna kill a man and rape his wife and his daughters and take his sons as slaves because he chose to not to pay $2? What kind of God is that? If Islam is the final religion of Allah and Muhammad is the final messenger of Allah, how can that Allah, the God of Muhammad, be that cheap that he will allow people to die as infidels, as polytheists, to spend the eternity in hell, or to just give a little bit money? Little bit money. I wonder if Muslims can understand these facts and the reality of the cheap Allah and the cheap Muhammad in that savage cult, the cult of Islam. Once again, 9-5 must supersede 9-29 because simply it is harsher. Or Muslims have to give me an answer for the great contradiction between killing the polytheists or receiving little bit money as jizya from these polytheists. In the interpretation of Muslim scholars to Quran 9:29, we read about the Pact of Umar and how Muslims humiliate and disgrace the Christians and the Jews of the Middle East and allowing them to live literally like slaves in their own land. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.